Hello there, we're in the World House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's a privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
I'll be speaking tonight on the subject matter, what is written is written. What is written is written. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. We're praying. We'll just take a few minutes to pray, then we'll get into the word. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. He said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God has ordained before the world unto our glory. He says, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known
that except a grain of corn falls to the ground and die, it actually abides alone. But it is when it dies, it brings forth much fruit. If the devil knows what he knows, it would have been contended with one Jesus. Because all he has to battle with is one Jesus. But now he killed Jesus and the seed went to the ground. And guess what? Now he has to deal with millions of Jesus. If the devil has any idea, he should have left you alone. Because the Bible says, for we know all things work together for good. To those who love God and are called according to his purpose. There are two legs to this prayer. We're going to take the first leg. Lord, everything that is going on in my life right now, every battle, every attack, every difficulty, let it work together for my good. Let it bring the devil to shame. Let the devil regret for what he's doing in my life. Is it okay if we turn that into a prayer? Jeba loko sepete me leko siba impala ko sebe deko rapata mako shibe sebe leko tomo de grebe deko sobodo ekrebe de moko supara de gazi semileko azabidako anabadako zebidako shebile kutaya negade ya baraka sule barako ya katalabade epele ketu kosile monde grebe de moko sotoboria ashele bodoria inkrebe de bede 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 akoria sele monte shikele boro ya kabaraka da bababa it will work together for my good. It will end in praise. It will be for my lifting. It will be for my glory. Shalabadia Korabakase, Shelibororia Kabaraka de Breke de Mobokosida, in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
The next verse to that scripture is our next prayer. Remember, the other verse says, if they have known, they wouldn't have done this. The next verse now tells us the result of the devil's mistake. Verse 9. But as it is written. Remember, the title of my meditation tonight is what is written is written. Now, so let's take this as it is written. Eye has not seen. Ears has not heard. Neither has the heart of man imagined the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Oh, Jesus Christ. Can I prophesy to somebody? Out of your mistake will come forth a miracle. Out of your mess will come forth a message. Out of your destitution will come forth destiny. I said, out of your destitution will come forth destiny. Listen, eyes have not seen. See, this mistake the devil made by attacking you, by bringing you shame, by making you lose your job, now you are going to be a billionaire. He should have allowed you to remain in that job, earning a salary. He told them to sack you. Now from sacking you now, a multi-billionaire is about to come. Can you begin to pray and say, Lord, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what is about to happen in my life, in my destiny. Shakato palate, zemeleketebilokosia, imbelekozabon dagaria. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Tonight I declare, no weapon will take you out. No divination will take you out. Every voice that rises up in judgment will condemn tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus. For the last time, can you declare what is written? It's written. Give God praise and you may be seated.
John 19:22 is the text, and then Matthew explains it. Are you there? John 19:22. Now everybody read with me to go. Pilate answered and said, I have written. Amen. Why is the word of God so powerful in the mouth of the believer? Why is the word of God so powerful in the mouth of the believer? There are many, many reasons. Many, many reasons why the word of God is so powerful in the mouth of the believer. But tonight, let me just speak about one of them. Perhaps you haven't given a very serious thought of. In a sense, the word of God is to the believer what the earth is to the natural man. Pastor, explain. How many of you know our physical body was formed from the earth? Anybody knows that? Please answer me. Anybody knows that? Now, I want you to understand this mystery. When a human being, and I speak about any human being, including, in fact, mostly occultic people, when they pick sand from the ground and they speak into that sand, one of the reasons why it's very potent is because that thing they are speaking into was the major material that formed human being. Is anybody hearing me? Yes, can you talk to me, somebody? Yes, I shared my testimony before. See, these are mysteries of the kingdom. I shared with you how many years ago, I took a gentleman. My governor friend said, you are a pastor, you cannot do contracts. Give me somebody who will work for you. I give him contracts, he settles you. And for some crazy reasons, I had this guy who chased a girl inside church. He chased the girl until he joined church. It was the girl they chased inside church. Something they chased person inside church. Am I correct? Why are you looking at me like that? His son is chased a girl inside the church. And he actually came to report and said that, now this girl carried me come church. So I was still trying to manage him. But we now found that he was into road construction. So I told him, I said, okay, follow me. Let me introduce you to this governor. I did that. And cut a long story short, he started making money. First job, second job. And I got the big one, which was about running into billions. He came and testified to me, but also told me as he testified that he's not going to settle me because he has more important people to settle inside government house. I'm not part of government house. I'm just the person who introduced him to the governor. So he said he has to settle chief of staff. He has to settle this one. He has to settle governor's sister. He has to settle the other one. He has to settle the commissioner of works. So that by the time he settled them, he can't settle me again. I said, are you serious? He said, yes. I even reported him to the governor. The governor called him and said, you're a foolish man. I don't know you from Adam. Your pastor introduced you to me. And now you are misbehaving. Better be careful, though. And we walked away. And I thought he was joking. First mobilization came, he didn't settle me. Ah. I said, now that it has reached this level. Because I've even reported to the governor, and the governor too just warned him and walked away. So I said, no problem. Where there is a will, there's a way. So that morning, I went to the government house. I picked the sand. I said, Father, it's a favor that I used to bring this man here. I ask, let this land reject him. Let this government house reject him. As I consecrate this sand as a sand of rejection in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I walked away. The next week, 5:30 a.m. The governor was on the site where he was doing the road. It was the road that leads to the airport. And they took the measuring rod which is supposed to measure the depth of the concrete. And this is a federal road that the federal government is supposed to refund back the governor. And if it's not up to the particular length or depth or thickness, federal government will not pay. They measured it and discovered that he had done it, was doing it by half the measurement. There and there, the governor picked his phone and asked him to come. He didn't know the governor was on his site. He came down there. The governor turned to the chief security officer and said, "Look at that guy. If I see him in government house, if he crosses the gate of government house from today, know that you have lost your job." Entered his car and drove away. That's how he left government house. So we have power when it comes to the sand. But that's not what I'm talking about tonight. How many of you know that as a believer, you are a new creation? Anybody knows that? Let me show you the material with which you were made. 1 Peter. Are you still ready tonight? Chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. Are you there? My God, are you still there? It says, being born again. Is anybody with me? I'm showing you the material with which, I've shown you what your physical being was formed with the earth. Am I correct? Let me show you what your spirit being was formed with. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By what? My God, can you talk to me? By the word of God that lives and abided forever. The reason he added that which lives and abides forever is to let you know, please listen to this. This physical earth, are you hearing me? This is your physical body. I hope you know with time it starts fading. It starts fading. It starts aging. It gets sick. It gets corrupt. Not the same with your spirit. The word of God lives and abides forever. Ever. Now, what am I trying to say? When the believer opens his mouth and speaks the word, it's different from a man who is not born again. The man who is not born again is not formed in the spirit. The word of God has not formed him yet. That's not his basic material for building. He is still earth. But when the believer opens his mouth and speaks the word, Pastor, where are you going with this? How many of you know the Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven"? Please answer me. Have you seen it in your Bible? Have you seen it in your Bible? "Forever, O Lord, the word is settled where?" Please notice it's not in earth. It's in heaven. It's in heaven. The word of God is not settled on earth, though. It is settled in heaven. So what happens? The believer has authority to download it from where it is settled in heaven and make it settle on earth. My God. That's why he made your basic raw material is the word. So that every time you activate that word in prayer, or you activate that word in prophesying, or you speak that word by faith, guess what? What you are doing is in the heaven, you bring it to manifest on earthly situations. Is anybody hearing me? Please never ever be fooled. The word of God is not settled on earth. It's settled in heaven, not on earth. As a believer, it is your authority in God that is translated into speaking. It says, "We having the spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore do what?" It is when the believer by faith says what God has said, "I believe, therefore have I spoken." I'm speaking in line with the word of God. In fact, that word which is called testimony, the word testimony in the Hebrew actually means speaking the same thing in consonance with what God has spoken. So real testimony is not, "I was down, God raised me up." No, real testimony is repeating what God has said. Is anybody hearing me tonight? All right. So, having laid this foundation, I have less than 2 minutes to go. So I don't even know where to start from. Having laid this foundation, are you still there? Answer me, are you still there? Ladies and gentlemen, my slide began by saying life is like a movie. Life is like a drama. Is anybody hearing me? I how do I put it now? Okay. Let's put it this way. I want to do something. I want to see if I can maximize the short time that I have. All right. So, okay, let's do this. So, gentlemen, everybody say movie. Say movie. Shout aloud, say movie. For the last time, say movie. Have you ever watched a movie before that made you cry? Let me see your hand. Raise it up. Very well. Put it down. Is it that you don't know that the people are acting? Why were you crying? Eh? Emotions. But you know it's just an act, right? How many of you know that wrestling you normally watch, WrestleMania, that they throw people down, they jump on people? How many of you know that thing is a script? Anybody knows that? How many of you know it's acting? You are crying for the person they are beating, you know? You are taking Panadol for somebody who is suffering. But what you don't know is a script. Everything you are doing there is a script. Come on, talk to me. Are you with me? Movies can be very powerful. Movies can make you cry as well as make you laugh. There are movies I watch. It takes me like some hours to come to terms with the fact that this is acting. I don't watch the Titanic, never. After watching it once, I swear I will never watch it again. You know? And what annoyed me more, after crying and crying and watching that movie, was the fact that they were acting it in a swimming pool. I said, sir, I was crying for swimming pool. Inside my mind, this is an ocean. People died. Come on, are you with me, somebody? Now, we all know it is acting, but you cry nevertheless. Why? Because even though it is acting, there's an emotion it compels. It's so real that for a moment, as you are shedding tears and crying, for a moment, you are not thinking about the script. You're just thinking about the fact that how can they deal with this girl like this? How can this girl just die like this? And the worst one is when the actor dies. You know what I'm talking about? You literally don't watch the movie again when the actor dies. Like, how can this man just die? It's not fair. Come on, are you still with me, somebody? Now, gentlemen, I hope you know everything going on in that place is a script they are following. The script is so important, it determines everything they do. So much that if the guy who is supposed to beat another person, if he didn't beat well, they might have to repeat that script, that particular scene up to 10 times until it can reflect the emotion that they want to see, that the guy was beating well. Or somebody is supposed to cry inside the movie. And they cry, it's not convincing enough. They will have to repeat it over and over until the person cries well. Please answer me, am I correct? As real as it all appears, it's only a script. It's only a script. And that script was written by one man or a group of people. And there's director or directors who are making sure everything goes on according to plan. According as it is written. Ladies and gentlemen, in the movie of life, I want you to listen attentively. And I discovered there are three kinds of scripts. Number one, there is a script written by God concerning you. It's called the will of God. It's called the will of God. Is that okay, somebody? Please answer me, is that okay, somebody? But I also discovered other scripts. And it's there on my slide, if you can scroll down on my slide. Because now I'm not following slide any longer because I'm already behind time. I want to see if I can summarize. Are you still there? Talk to me, are you still there? Please talk to me, are you still there? Okay? So number one, I show you a type of script. Right? Now please watch me. I'm just going to summarize this thing. Get out of your face. Alright? Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. What happened in Matthew chapter 2? The wise men have deceived Herod. The wise men have taken off. Are you still there? Please answer me. Are you still there? And he had told them, when you find this star, come and inform me, let me worship. And of course, you know the rest of the story. God told them, take off this way. Herod is a bad guy. So they didn't come back. Herod found out that these guys are fooled in. What happened? Herod gave an instruction. Everybody follow me now. Herod gave an instruction that every child, male child, that is 2 years old and below, should be slaughtered. Is that true? Answer me, is that true? Now, let us read. Verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that it was mocked, Matthew 2:16, of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, sent forth and slew all the children in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, 2 years and below. Now, go with me to verse 17. Now, the song I'm going to, I want you to just follow me. Just get the message out of this story. Then was what? Please answer me. Then was what? That which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, next verse. In Ramah was a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, and mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, I will not comforted because they are not. Everybody, please keep that scripture. Please look up here. Please, I want you to listen to this. A family is crying. They've just lost their 2-year-old son. The son was slaughtered. In the eyes of the family, they were just in a coincidence of time. What's the coincidence? The coincidence was that Herod the king is angry. Herod just said that they should just slaughter all 2-year-old children. What the family who is crying right now does not know is that they are fulfilling a negative prophecy. Ah, Jesus. Okay, let me break it down. Are you aware that there are many families right now where they're going through lamentation, weeping, and crying? In their mind, it's just one of those things. In their mind, we just made a mistake. In their mind, it's just our family. No, they are not aware. And for those families, it's a seasonal thing. God have mercy. I want to prophesy tonight. Every family going through lamentation, weeping, and mourning, which has become a family pattern. Please, before I pray for you, put down your hand. So what orchestrates weeping and mourning sometimes is that nobody crosses a particular age in the family. At the age of 45, death must take place. Or nobody can build a house in this family. Once they attempt to build, they start it and they die. Marianto Balakoshka. Rebe de Mokoshada Yakatili Marakoto. Zubre Ketele Mokonto. Shibra Kataya Lama Katoya. Families are going through pain, going through wailing, going through mourning. Somewhere in their mind is just an action. Somewhere in their mind is just something that happened. But they do not know there's a scripture, there's a prophecy being fulfilled. And the question you want to ask is, where did this prophecy come from? Of course, it didn't come from God. It's an evil prophecy. It came from the pit of hell. And I want to, you know, something happened to a lady, very painful one, because my children were in her school. And most of the people here know the person I'm talking about. There was a time she came into our church, stayed for some years, but at some point, I think the Anglican communion needed her, so she had to leave our church. And in her husband's village, nobody built in her husband's village. So every now and then I've gone to visit her, talk to her. Madam, come to church now. Oh, pastor, you know, they need me in the other church where she had gone. I said, madam, come to church. This is where you came to. When you came from America, God brought you to this church. Don't use because of we don't have a big school and we don't have all those things and all that. You are moving over. I said, madam, come, let's pray. Your husband came from a strong family. Madam, let us be praying. I said, pastor, don't worry. Once in a while, I'll come around. Sadly, she didn't have the time because she has to shuttle between here and her family in America. She has to go and come. Cut a long story short. Every now and then, she'll come here and she'll come and pray for the school. I go and pray for the school. I was doing that. Anyway, cut a long story short. When nobody builds, and built a house, successfully completed it, and we all celebrated. And guess what? She had lived in a rented apartment. Auntie Obi knows who I'm talking about. She had lived in a rented apartment for many, many years in the school. She finally built the permanent site of the school. The moment she completed the permanent site of the school, she died. I said to her, I said, your husband's village is a very strong village. Madam, come to church. Come, let's be doing that little thing we are doing here. But definitely, and I'm not blaming her because making. I saw that woman die according to the prophecy. Nobody must build in this village. She died. Oh yes, she did. Tonight, I came on the authority of God's word to prophesy over you. Any prof produce weeping, mourning, and sorrow into your family, I stand in my prophetic mantle and I declare that prophecy is reversed. Prophecy is reversed. Prophecy is reversed. Prophecy is reversed. There will be no mourning in your family, no sorrow in your family, no sign in your family, in the name of Jesus. How many families are going through pain, and somewhere they are giving interpretations to it? Oh, she just didn't do well. Oh, it's because he wasn't very careful when he was driving. Oh, it's because of that, sir. What nobody has told you is that there is a prophecy waiting for the family. It will happen. It won't be your family. It will not be your family. And every cycle of sorrow and weeping and mourning that has taken place in your family, whether it's called premature death or it's failed, by the blood, it is canceled in the name of Jesus. By the blood, it is canceled in the name of Jesus. Can you shout a better amen? In some families, it's divorce. People never stay in marriage. Marriage never works. In some family, they have a serial history of wife beating. Wife beating. And let me not even say, there are families where naturally they just churn out thugs, criminals. People just come out, even the intelligent ones that should make first class end up becoming Yahoo boys. There's just something that orchestrates cycles of pain. It's called weeping, sorrow, and lamentation in Rama. But I declare tonight, every pattern that sponsors sorrow, weeping, and pain in your family ends tonight in the name of Jesus. See, this is the reason why I began this meeting by praying. Because it is not just it is settled in heaven, it must be downloaded on earth. That's why we started this meeting by praying. Because this, and when you speak that word by faith, knowing that you are, it's like bullets in your mouth hitting specific targets. And tonight, every target of every fountain of sorrow, of wailing, of lamentation in your family, it dies tonight in the name of Jesus. I said it dies tonight in the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I said there are different kinds of scripts, and that's where I'm going to end tonight. I won't go into many, many details. Scripts of deliverance is there on my slide. Matthew chapter 12, verse 18. Matthew 12, 18. Matthew 12, 18. I'm just going to end around here. Are you there? Matthew 12, 18. Matthew 2, 12. I'm sorry. Matthew 2, we'll read all the way from 12 to 18. Then we'll go to 20-23. I'll just do this, professor, and get out of your face. Matthew 2, let's begin from verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to another country, another way. Next verse, please. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, and I'll bring you word for Herod, blah, blah, blah. Go to the next verse. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother that night and departed into Egypt. Next verse. And please, everybody follow me here now. And was there until the death of Herod. Now everybody read with me to go. That it might be what? I can't hear you. That it might be what? That it might be what? Which was spoken by the Lord the prophet. What's the prophecy? Out of Egypt have I called my son. Jump with me to verse. Is that verse 18? Okay, we have not reached verse 18 yet. Go to the next verse. Go to the next verse, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was... Okay, no, leave that one alone. Leave that one alone. Go with me to verse 20. Verse 20, please. Jump to verse 20. Go to 20, verse 20. Okay, same. Okay, give me 19. 19. Just give me 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph in a dream, in Egypt, saying, next verse. Arise, take the young child and his mother. Go to the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child. Next verse. Again, he arose, took the young child and the mother, and disappeared. Next verse. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid, blah, 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 blah. Next verse, please. I just want to get to it is written. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled. Everybody say fulfilled. Say fulfilled. What was spoken by the prophets, it shall be called a Nazarene. Now, so please notice this. On one hand, you have prophetic words, or you have
You have prophecies of woe, of lamentation, of weeping. But on this other hand, you have prophecies of deliverance. Of deliverance. To Joseph and Mary, these are coincidences. I hope you know that. To them, it's just happening. These things are just happening. But it's not true. Every one of them, when they first escape and they go to Egypt, a prophecy fulfilled. When they also escaped and go to Nazareth, another prophecy fulfilled. Can I prophesy to somebody tonight that concerning your life, listen to this, you will every danger, every evil, every disaster, every sudden death, every trouble that is in front of you, I activate the prophetic word, you will escape. You will escape. Kandabakoshia. I said you will escape. You shall escape. May prophecies of deliverance work for you. Prophecies of protection work for you. Prophecies of divine rescue work for you. Just before the disaster, you will escape. Just before the attack, you will escape. Just before the kidnapping, you will escape. Just before the robbery, you will escape. They will rob others, but they will not come near you. I activate the prophetic word of supernatural deliverance concerning you and your family in the name of Jesus. Come on, I said I activate the prophetic word concerning you and your family in the name of Jesus. Shout amen, somebody. I don't have time to talk about Joseph. The Joseph we're talking about here, who is the surrogate father of Jesus. But how many of you know that man died before his time? Anybody knows that? I have no time to talk about him. Because you see, he escaped this one, he escaped the other one, he escaped that one, but there was one he didn't escape. And it was because he died before his time on the cross. Jesus said to John, look after your mother. If he was alive, Jesus would have said, Oga, look after your wife. Are you in church tonight? Joseph died before his time. He did. The Bible didn't give us any details. But on the death of Jesus, he was nowhere to be found. His wife had to be given to somebody else to look after. Lift up your right hand. I prophesy over you. On your children's graduation, you'll be there. Amen. On their wedding, you'll be there. Amen. When they are dedicating house, you'll be there. Amen. When they are dedicating their business, you'll be there. You will carry their children. You will carry their children's children. You will carry their children's children's children. At the time of glorification for your children, you will be there. At the time of award, you will be there. When they are being blessed and celebrated, you will be there. When they are crowned as governors and commissioners, you will be there. At the time where you should enjoy the fruits of your labor, you will be there. I prophesy over you, you will enjoy songs of deliverance. Prophecies of deliverance. You will not be caught in the trap. You will not die before your time. You will escape the danger. You will escape the danger now. You will escape the danger ahead. I prophesy over you, you will live to enjoy the fruit of your labor in the name of Jesus. Wow. And finally, this way I end tonight. There are the scripts of the fulfillment of purpose. And that's where I end tonight. There is also the one that fulfills purpose. Matthew 2. And this is where I'm going to end tonight. Matthew 2. Just where we read just now, but just narrowing down on a particular verse. Verse 20. Are you there, somebody? Okay, let's go straight for time's sake to verse 22. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being one of God, in a dream, he turned aside and to the parts of Galilee. He came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet. It shall be called a Nazarene. Amen. How many of you know that Jesus is called Jesus of Nazareth? He wasn't born from Nazareth. He wasn't from Nazareth. But the Bible says it was a matter of escape. He ended in Nazareth. And the Bible said that it might be fulfilled. Now, how many of you know this prophecy is not in the Bible? Go through the whole Bible. When you get back home, Google it. This prophecy that says it shall be called a Nazarene is not in the Bible.
Is the Bible lying therefore? No. 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 The Bible is not lying. But let me summarize it for time's sake. Help me, Holy Spirit, now. Isaiah was speaking in chapter 11, verse 1. Put it for me. Isaiah 11, 1. Everybody say Nazarene. Say Nazarene. That it might be fulfilled. There's no prophecy like that. But there is a prophecy like that. All through the Bible, there's no way it says it shall be called a Nazarene. We've checked it out because we're students of the Bible. Okay? But it is in the Bible. But it's not in the Bible, but it's in the Bible. So it's in the Bible in a figure. In a figure. And I will explain to you as I wrap up. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch will grow out of where? His roots. And it shall come forth, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. And so on and so forth. Are you still with me? Please answer me. Are you still with me? I close on this note. Jesus was with Andrew. Andrew brought Nathanael to Jesus. And when Nathanael arrived, Jesus, okay, first of all, before he arrived, when Andrew told Nathanael, follow me, let's go and see Jesus of Nazareth. You know what he said? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Andrew said, come and see. So reluctantly followed Jesus to the place. From a distance, Jesus looked at him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in which there's no guile. Because already Jesus knew this guy has no regard for Nazareth. This guy has no value for Nazareth. This guy has already said, no good thing can come out of Nazareth. Are you still there, somebody? So, Jesus wanted to mess him up because he was very arrogant and pride. An Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And the guy was shocked. How do you know? Okay, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Now everybody look up here. What was Jesus saying? Nathanael is what you call pure Jew. The pure Jewish man is a very arrogant man. Especially if he's dealing with a half Jew like a Samaritan. They always discriminate and say, in fact, when that Syrophoenician woman, you know what they call her? They call her dog. And the woman was half Jew, half Israel, half Jew, half whatever. But the point is that once you are not a pure-breeded Jew, they have no regard for you. Nathanael was a pure breed. Nathanael is what you want to call a pure Jew. So, and by Jewish tradition, Nazareth is one of those villages nobody wants to have anything to do with. So, gentlemen, so he asked that question, can any good thing, is there any hope of any good thing coming out of Nazareth? Now, please listen to me. Why did he ask this question? Why did he ask this question? Before I answer that question, let me explain what Jesus meant. When Jesus said, before Andrew called you, I saw you under the fig tree. Now, please listen. Nathanael, in his arrogance and pride, believes that there are some people God can never use. There are some places nothing good can come out of. As far as he's concerned, Nazareth was one of such places. Nathanael had forgotten that anything you are or anything you have is only by the grace of God. Nothing more than the grace of God. And that there's no human being on earth that God has written off. No matter how bad the person is, God can still bring something good out of the person. No matter how terrible the person's life has been, something good can still come out of it. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Nathanael has written off Nazareth. Now, in his arrogance and pride, here comes Nathanael before Jesus. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus, first of all, gave him a word of prophecy or gave him a word of knowledge by saying, I saw you under the fig tree. Now, why did Jesus say, I saw you under the fig tree? Everybody say fig tree. Everybody say fig tree. Jesus knew he was dealing with a man who had a terrible spiritual pride and needed to be brought down. The fig tree, gentlemen, was symbolic in Israel. Because when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and nakedness came, shame came, guess what happened? They went to the fig tree, they took leaves, and they covered themselves. When Jesus said to Nathanael, I saw you under the fig tree, you know what he was saying? Say, Nathanael, you're very arrogant and proud. You think you are okay because you are a pure-blooded Jew. But what you don't know is that what is covering you, what is covering your shame, why you look like you are a human being, is the grace of God. The fig tree where I saw you under is the leaves that are covering you. You're not better than anybody. You're not holier than anybody. You're not more righteous than anybody. You are only here because of the grace of God. Is anybody hearing me? Answer me, is anybody hearing me? Now, let us now get back to the question. Why did Nathanael make that comment? Everybody follow me as I wrap up. The prophecy of God concerning David was that David was going to produce the king in Israel. Am I correct? Please answer me, am I correct? I'm trying to wrap up, gentlemen. And David produced kings until Israel was caught in captivity. When Israel went into captivity, as it were, the tree of David was cut. Remember in Matthew chapter 1, the family tree of David was given to us. Am I correct? How kings came to Israel. Am I correct? Please answer me. Am I correct? The family tree was given to us in Matthew chapter 1. But gentlemen, that family tree was cut when Israel went into captivity into Babylon. From the time of Israel's captivity in Babylon, Israel never recovered again. Even though they returned back to the temple, even though they returned back to Jerusalem, you will notice that from the point of Daniel's prophecy and the return back into Babylon, ladies and gentlemen, please listen to this. The records you have are no longer the records of the kings. They are not the records of the prophets that prepared us to enter into the intertestament period and ushered us into the New Testament and the coming of Christ. True or false? Please answer me, true or false? Because as far as God is concerned, the prophecy for the kingship of Israel, physical, ended once they went into Babylon. Now God wanted to produce a spiritual king from David. How did that happen? Back to Isaiah 11. He said, there shall come forth a rod. The tree has been cut. David was no longer producing king. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? This is the end of David. But guess what? Not with God. Guess what? Give me Isaiah 11. Give me Isaiah 11. As I wrap up. Forgive me now. I just need to. If I don't say this thing, then I've not told you anything tonight. Isaiah 11. Can you give me Isaiah 11, somebody? Oh, Jesus Christ. Can you give me NIV translation? Give me the NIV translation. Can you make it smaller? Okay. Isaiah 11, verse 1. Verse 1, please. Give me the NIV translation. Everybody, please look up here. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Everybody says stump. What happens when you cut a tree, please? What happens? Stump, am I correct? When you cut a tree, what you have is a stump. Please answer me, true or false? What you have is a stump. And sometimes when you see a stump, you may think it's the end of the tree, true or false? But guess what? God said no. That when you see the stump of a tree, it may look like a dry thing, but it has the capacity of producing again. So, the prophetic word now came. Out of this stump you are looking out, there shall come forth a rod. It's a matter. Nobody knew when it was going to come, and nobody knows what type of rod this is. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From its roots, a branch will bear fruit. Ladies and gentlemen, nobody knew what this meant, and nobody knew when it was going to come. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? This prophecy was eventually fulfilled in, and the Bible says it's from the stem of Jesse. And if you read the family tree of Matthew chapter 1, Jesus came from David, David came from Jesse. Please, am I correct? Answer me, am I correct? And from Jesus, from David, the lineage came through until Jesus was born. Ladies and gentlemen, that word called stump in the Hebrew is called NTZ. You know what it means? It means Nazarene. 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 So, when they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Let me tell you what they are asking. If life has cut you short, if situation has cut you short, if something happens to you, it looks like there's no future in you any longer. Please, never ever forget Job. Please give me Job as I close. Never ever forget Job's prophecy. Job, give it to me, please. Chapter. Help me now, Holy Spirit. Job, what now? Job chapter. At the center of the water. Benjamin, get it for me, please. Job 14. Give it to me. Verse what? Verse what? 7. Thank you, sir. Job 14, 7. Give it to me, please. When they say there's no hope for you because life happened to you, because you were cut short, because something happened, you made a mistake, you became bad news, please don't forget. Never ever give up. It says, get back to the KJV. Get back to the KJV. Okay, leave it. At least there is a hope for a tree. If it is what? It will do what? And the new shoots will do what? Not fail. Next verse. Next verse. Its roots may grow old in the ground. You may have written it up that there's nothing good that can come out of it. And a stump may even die in the soil. But what happens? Next verse. Yet. At the what? At the what? It will bud. Put forth shoots like a plant. Question. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? The answer is, even though it looks cut right now, even though nothing good can. So that prophecy that says, and it shall be fulfilled, it shall be called a Nazarene, was simply saying, it shall be called a stump. A tree that has been cut. But guess what? Something good can still come out of it. Oh my God. Is anybody in church tonight? Now, can I prophesy to you? I don't know if there's anybody under the sound of my voice. Life has caught you. Things have happened to you. You've made some crazy mistakes. You've done some poor decisions. There are things that has happened and people have looked at your life and they've asked, can anything good come out of you? Take a look at your life. I came to prophesy over you. There is hope for you. I declare over you, at the sound of this word, you will sprout again. At the sound of this word, your life will come back again. Your destiny will be recovered. Time will come again. Opportunities will come again. Your ministry will bounce back. Your anointing will bounce back. Your glory will show forth. Everything God has spoken concerning you will yet come to pass. Nothing will fall to the ground. Rise on your feet. My time is up. I prophesy over you. You will arise again. You will bounce back again. A rod will come out of you. In the name of Jesus. No matter how bad it is. No matter how dead it looks. No matter how dry the tree is. You are bouncing back again. Something good will come out of Nazareth. My God, I said something good will come out of Nazareth. I said something good will come out of Nazareth. I prophesy something good will come out of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ. No matter the mistake you made. No matter the poor choices you made. You will still bounce back again. As long as there is a God to answer prayer. As long as there is a God in heaven. You will bounce back again. I said you will bounce back again.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.